The Bible reading for the sermon is the text which was read from the 21st chapter of John's Gospel. And we pray for the Holy Spirit to guide us in understanding the meaning for our lives in that text. Lord Jesus, send your Holy Spirit and give us the wisdom and skills to understand and to communicate that gospel of love to those of our flock now here assembled, and to all of those that we serve throughout our ministries. We pray in your love, Lord God, that you will pour out upon us the saving grace that we have proclaimed to those that we have served and that we shall continue to proclaim. And then in our last hour, gather us together with all of your faithful children, where we can be with one another and with Jesus forever. We pray in his name, amen. Well, for you Greek students, I really couldn't find a definition of love, even in spite of agape and philia and eros and all of those Greek words. The best definition of love that I found was in a family reunion of wheelchairs. They had inherited generation after generation muscular dystrophy, and now they were in the stage of being in the wheelchairs. And the description of love, when there was called staying love in the theme of that article, and it was an expression of one of the wives who married into this relationship. The kind of love she had to show. She knew, you know, when she went to that family reunion, that someday her husband likewise would have this terrible disease. And then when they were out in Colorado on vacation, they were climbing on the rock side of a mountain, and her husband was up ahead of her, and all at once, he lost control of his limbs and started falling. And she grabbed him and held him and carried him down. She says that's when the bomb fell. That she understood now that she would have to. Well, you know, she raises questions. Now what have I got myself into? Well, I married this man. I love this man. See, that's a good definition of love for me. Staying love. That she was going to stay in love with this man that she married and that she loved. And we find this expressed in many other ways, too. You see, for example, this cross here was made by communists in Moscow in 1988 to honor, it says here in Russian, the 1,000-year anniversary of the conversion of Russia in 988, when the missionaries went there and the Russians were converted. And that was, I said, made by communists, sold by communists in their booth in an exposition in Edmonton, Alberta. And that reminds me of how they tried, by calling Christian religion, belief in God, the opiate of the people, end of quotation from the Communist Manifesto, and then that they were going to go it on their own on dialectical scientific materialism. They were going to follow this philosophy. The next stage in that is it wasn't going too well. Even these people without love, you know, they were starting to purge each other in the struggle for power, and they were leaving Russia to save their lives, and they're going out and they got into Europe, Eastern Europe, and they were sitting in a restaurant. They said, isn't that terrible? Now that philosophy we believed in, that didn't work. One said, oh, well, I wonder where the answer is. One guy was looking up on a picture on the wall. He says, there it is. There's the answer. It was a painting of the Pietà of Michelangelo, where the mother of Jesus is receiving the body of her dead son at the foot of the cross. There's the answer. Unselfish, sacrificial love. And so, that's what they were now going to follow. And that's what at the Toronto World's Fair, the Church of Rome shipped the actual sculpture of Michelangelo with the highest insurance of Lloyd's of London to ship it over across the ocean over, take it into Toronto and put it up so the people in our generation could also see. There is the answer in that compassionate love of the mother of Jesus receiving the body of her dead son at the foot of the cross. And then we try to, in our faith and trust in that love, to try to find help for us in our lives. And one of the places where we find a lot of problems are just in the marriage relationship. You know, that's where this one says, I love this man. I married this man. And the last Rutgers report of 40 years of studying marriages in the United States, is a huge number, leads the world in divorces. And they asked the young girls, now what do you think of this? Your parents got divorced and all these things. She said, in spite of that, our goal is to get married and have a family. So they trust some way that they will have a chance to apply this love. But in that then, we all find tensions with fulfilling and practicing love. For example, Gabriel Mistral won the Nobel Prize with a poem on forgiveness. The words I spoke in haste. Now you think of a married couple. The words I spoke in haste, give them back. Give them back, or love will go to waste. Her fiancé committed suicide, and she writes this Nobel Prize winning poem to express that she was looking for. And then she says, or love will go to waste. The words I spoke in haste, give them back, give them back. We have wilted all the flowers. We have spoiled all the wine. The words I spoke in haste, give them back, give them back, or love will go to waste. But there's forgiveness. There's the love of God. There's forgiveness in the gospel. Now, the flowers can bloom again. We can drink the sweetened wine. The words I spoke in haste, give them back. Give them back, or love will go to waste. And it's not only how we see love helping each other, helping the couples who have tensions in their marriages. And we'll have a lot of opportunity to counsel people in this. I did over the phone not long ago. I started a mission, 175 miles from here. I get this long distance call. Had started teaching here in the seminary. Oh, you know, say, Butch is her husband. He works hard at a physical job. Butch is down in the basement, she said. He's packing his tools. He's going to leave. I said, Sally. It wasn't a real name, but that's Sally anyway, Butch's husband. Butch wasn't his real name either. I said, were you harsh to him when he came home? Yes. I said, I knew what kind of work he was doing, very hard, dirty work. He has a harsh job. He comes home tired and hungry. And then you speak those words of haste. I says, you go down in the basement and you apologize to him. Oh, rapture, that would be hard to do. I said, for the sake of your 6-year-old son, go down into the basement and apologize to him. And she did. And she called me back, and they were reconciled. Many years later now, I preached in that church this February of this year, and I found out everything was still okay. The gospel forgiven. You know, forgiveness, as Mistral says in her poem, and now the flowers can bloom again, and then we can drink the sweetened wine. But then we go on beyond that, and there are bigger problems of love. There's great hatred turned up against us. I'm thinking of those people that came in on the 3 motorcycles, went into that Christian church in Pakistan and shot all of the Christians. There was a mother up at the altar over her little child, yet, and this fellow kept shooting her until she didn't move. No, they said, we don't know who did that, the Pakistanis. Oh, we don't. I saw it on television news. I know who they were, those 3 guys on the motorcycle. Why don't you check it out? The license numbers on the motorcycle, oh, we don't know who those people are. It's a deception and hatred. And the crowds were hundreds of thousands, the trade towers Down with America. Kill the Americans. Kill the Christians. Hundreds of thousands on news in the evening. Kill the Jews and so on. And so we say this is our age of terrorism, into which we seek the only answer. You remember when they pointed there? Love. The love of God revealed in Jesus. The mother of Jesus at the foot of the cross receiving the body of her husband. And this is a love that not only forgives and reunites people in marriages, but it also heals in our prayers. It heals people extraordinarily in miraculous ways, and it saves them in the hour of death. Not even death can separate us from the love of God. Romans 8. And Bernie Siegel, who teaches at medical school at Stanford University, believes that when we die, we'll go to heaven and we'll be reunited there again. So we listened to Bernie's, there are a lot of liberal Protestants, you know, and liberal Christians don't believe that. And I know some of them, even some that teach in Lutheran seminaries. They don't believe it's like that Jesus didn't rise from the dead. No, no. And they're quoted in the newspaper saying that. But Bernie believes it. And he tells about this case, you know, where we can be together again after death. He has a couple of patients, a man and a wife, elderly, married over 60 years. And he gets a call. The husband's fallen down the stairway in the basement. He rushes over there. The wife has collapsed then, because the highest stress in a loving marriage for so many years, over 60 years in this case, and I know something about it having been married 52 years, you are very bonded in that time, and that the highest stress then is to lose the partner, and the one that's left feels that stress. The woman collapsed when she knew her husband couldn't live through the bones that were broken in that fall. He was as dead. The ambulance took them both to the hospital, the man in one room and the woman in another. Bernie, the professor of medicine at Stanford University, is taking care of the man, and his intern is in another room. They're supposed to call each other every 5 minutes. Sometime later, Bernie calls the intern. What's news? She died. How long ago? 5 minutes ago. Bernie says, that was the last date that her husband had with her on this earth. He picked her up and took her along to heaven. Nothing can separate us from the love of God, not even death. Amen.